I sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Greeno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Greeno and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Yes, all you heartbreakers and soul shakers out there, you are listening to Long Island's only automotive radio talk show, Motormouth Radio, with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host, wingman, XO, man at the con, Joe D.
Hey.
What's happening today, Joe?
My God, so some people have wine solos. You have record solos.
Oh, yes, I do. I was sitting there yesterday shooting some pool saying, I was actually listening to an Elvis album, and I said, boy, what's the music for tomorrow going to be? I don't know. And I said, hey, you know what? Nazareth. Let's go with a good old crusty golden oldie, and we pulled it out
and
of our hats.
And, of course, you got it.
Yeah.
You never cease to amaze me.
Well, thank you, Joe. The other thing is, it's just...
Some people pull out HEIs out of their back pocket, you pull out music.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
And I bet you there's an HEI in there, too.
There was weird mechanical stuff, too. But if you want to get in touch with us, you can play, too. You can call us at 516-572-7440. Check us out, of course, on our social media outlets on the web, motormouthradio.com. Twitter is the same, Motormouth Radio. And Instagram, Joe's favorite, Real
underscore
Motormouth Radio. Because we do put up pictures of stuff that we do and get involved with. I've had a couple recently. I've gone back into carburetor land and found out that my new cell phone has a really, really extraordinarily excellent camera. I got the picture of the inside of jets, which...
Yeah, that...
It even blew me. I was like, wow, did I just get a picture? Of what? And I only had to do like two shots to get a decent one.
I was like, my God, you... Put the coffee cup down.
I'm telling you, I was so super impressed. So again, to find that information, we talk about it, and you can call us and ask about it, but
sure.
Follow us on Instagram, and you can find it. Also, go to the website, because we have articles, new things that we put up. The decoder's been updated.
Yes.
There's stuff up there about the Malibu show still that was updated, and...
There's
always
constant
something.
Flurry of activity.
Constant content, if you will.
Yeah. Well, basically, that's mostly you getting into trouble.
Well, and yeah.
My stuff stays under the radar.
Yeah.
That's because I have a phone that, you know, if I try to take a picture, I get like this, you know, the bird comes out.
Yeah, there's a bird in a flash.
Yeah, and it kind of...
Poof!
No, it comes out. It carves it out a piece of wood like the Flintstones.
Right.
And those suckers get heavy. So that's true. And I found a way to put those on the interweb yet, so...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because,
we'll work on that.
Yeah, you know, I mean... Because I really loved at some point, I got to figure out some way to do it. I'm going to maybe find a way of strapping a video camera to my head. Because some of the stuff that I come up with is pretty cool. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And just to pass it along to, in case, like, people get strange stuff. Like, I had a good one yesterday.
What happened? Talk to me.
Shop calls me up and he goes, I got this buzzing noise in the speakers of this Hyundai Santa Fe. I'm like, okay. Did you get the beehive out of the door?
Yeah.
Okay, go great, wise guy. You know? So I get over there. And the first thing I usually, you know, and I heard it. So I start screwing around with the car a little bit. And I noticed that the noise gets worse because he said it was really bad yesterday when it was raining.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. And I said, well, let's simulate a rainy day. So I start turning on the wipers, the lights, and the things start going zzzz.
Oh, without any water, just with the devices.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, I've had things with, like, slipping belts, stuff like that. He goes, yeah, and look at the pronundle. The pronundle is flickering a little bit, too. And I'm like, yeah, that ain't, that's some type of fluctuating voltage thing.
Right.
So, next thing, scan tool comes out. You know, grab, do a code scan, talk to all the modules. And
see who's present and who's not.
Yes, you know, hi, how you doing? You know, it's like taking attendance when you show up at class.
Uh-huh.
And pretty much everybody that showed up had some type of a low voltage complaint.
How low was low?
Well, the one of them said it was less than 8 volts.
Wow.
And I was like, 8 volts? Car can't even freaking run on 8 volts. I mean, the threshold on most vehicles is somewhere between 9 and 10 volts.
Yeah, sure.
After that, everybody just kind of packs up and leaves, you know?
Yep.
So, at that point, I started flipping through it, and I went and scanned data. Actually, the best scan data I got was it ABS? No, it was the engine. And I graphed it, and it would start at 14, then it would go down, it would hit like 9, then it would come up, then it would go, instead of a nice straight line like you usually see in the scan data,
yeah,
I had like, it was all over the place, it looked like somebody's EKG that just drank like a couple of Red Bulls and like grabbed the jumper cables or two.
Right.
So, at that point, out comes Mr. Flukey.
Okay.
Good old Mr. Flukey, put it across the battery cables, and it's solid as a rock.
Okay.
It's like 13.1, 13.2. You know, I'm perfectly happy with that. And I said, okay, start looking for voltage drops and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, nah, everything seems to be fine. I'm like, okay, now it's time to go back probe the computer. You know what I mean? But like most of the modules are kind of complaining. So I'm standing there looking at the car because, you know, I got to take a general look around because okay, somebody left some grounds loose or something that they had done work on the vehicle, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because it goes back to the famous motor mouth saying, what was the last thing you touched?
Yeah, exactly. And Mikey T's line, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that, you know, there are a lot of little voices in my head, and that's one of them that rings true quite a bit. And then, of course, then I go, oh, the battery cable's tight. And that was one of the first things that I learned from my mentor, Master Yang.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, you know, that's awfully loud.
Yeah.
And I turn around, and there's Master Yang behind me.
Oh, no. Wow. So you basically channel in real life the entities.
Right. I was,
jeez, Joe, that's scary.
I was like speaking to the devil, you know. I was like, yeah, he was visiting this particular shop for another reason. And sure enough, I grabbed I touched the battery cables and they're not flopping around. So then I grabbed the positive and I started muscling a little bit.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was loose.
Wow.
And tightened it up. Problem solved.
Beautiful.
You know, and basically what the takeaway from this is, anytime you start with an electrical problem, you know what I mean? You always start with the basics. Grab them battery cables, make sure they're clean. Grab a handful of them, give them a good yoink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure, because this here, I sat there with the Fluke meter, and there were minute fluctuations between the terminal and the actual post on the battery.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way I could see them was in the mid-max feature, which, you know, it grabs like 1/10 of a second.
Right.
1/10 of a second fluctuations. I mean, I could have done it with a scope, but I was too lazy. But
right
there, just do that stuff first before you make yourself crazy.
Yeah, well, it's like the kiss. The, you know, we talk about
gape
the kiss.
It simple, stupid.
Exactly.
Yep.
And you're right. I mean, we so often you get a job to do, you get charged with a job, and you think about, you know, just getting in and doing that job. But a lot of times you forget about the peripheral or what other stupid things might
be. Yeah, the dumb crap will get you, because that was my next call. Yeah. The reason why he happened to show up is that he went and he had somebody that, you know, a friend of his that had a air pump coat on a Benz.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, a later model Benz, too. I'm like, you know, I do not touch these
German cars.
Yeah, the Teutonic Wonder wagons, you know?
Right.
But, you know, he's like, you know, come on, before, you know, I don't want to drag it over to the shop because it's going to become a thing and this and that. So, anyway, long story short with that, it was the air pump. So I grabbed the scan tool again.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think I should just, like, have that thing, you know, surgically grafted to my body. And I commanded the air injection pump on, and of course it didn't work. So the next thing you do is you pop the connector off. And he goes, but I put a new pump. And I says, "Nev, not Yang now. This is the owner of the car." I go, never, ever worked.
Mm-hmm.
So we checked power. We checked ground. We had ground, but we had no power.
Right.
Went back to the relay. And, okay, and here's another basic lesson, okay? Relays. You always, you know, if you your basic four-prong relay that's in most cars, all right, you're going to have two powers,
mm-hmm.
all right? You're going to have one control side, which is your ground, which usually comes from the computer or whatever module. Relays are almost always controlled on the ground side.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you have the pin that feeds whatever it is you're going to feed.
Yeah.
So I only have one power.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay, so where's the, so where's the...
It's the innards of something here.
Yeah, the guts, yes, I got to squint a little harder with that.
Yeah.
But sure enough, I started looking. Of course, I emailed a diagram to mm-hmm. these guys, and of course, the diagram is on somebody's, you know, kitchen table.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So I just kind of tried to go by memory, and sure enough, he goes, well, there's the fuse over there. That fuse looks good. It's a 40-amp fuse for the air pump.
Right.
And I'm like, but wait a second. The fuse does look good. It's one of them big plastic ones, you know, that you look in the window.
Right.
And it didn't look all poofticated or nothing.
That's good.
So I start looking, and I says, you know what? Screw this. Grabbed Mr. Fluky again, went between the fuse, made sure there was power coming into the fuse, went to the other side, and went to the pin on the relay that gets powered up, and there's no power.
I just read an article in Motor Magazine. There is a type of fuse that looks like it's continuous, but it's not.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
I'll get you the article, yeah.
Yeah, so what I do next, grab the fuse, put an ohmmeter across it, it's open.
Yeah, there you go.
It's friggin' open. So, of mm-hmm. course, next thing, I went... John, you'll know this noise. I went, brah! Ripped the fuse apart, and sure enough, there was a minute little break in it.
Yeah.
So, got a fuse, problem solved, have a nice day, yeah. But keep it simple.
Boy,
always check the easy, you know, it's not the easy stuff, but what you got to do is you got to check the basics. You got to make sure all your stuff is there.
That was two softballs, boy, in
pretty much, yeah, but you know,
could have been major.
Both of these were ongoing things for their respective owners there, whatever. But it's just a matter of going back to the basics. You know, relay stuff. I don't care what kind of car it is. You know what I mean? If you know, just about every car made in the last like 40 years has got 4-pin relays mm-hmm. in it, and you know that 2 powers, 1 ground and 1 fed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing. So once you figure that out. And you find out who's there and who's not.
Right.
You could cut down a lot of time real quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that was something that I wanted to buy that I haven't done yet. It's a tool company I've gotten a bunch of my connector tools from in cleaning, you know, terminal cleaning products.
HIPAA?
Yes, that's who it is. Yes, they have the relay socket the relay test. It's basically a socket. You plug it. You pull a relay out of the fuse box. Put the socket in. Put the relay in that, and it has wires that
it's
come out.
It's a relay, buddy. Yeah.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, that's on my list.
That's on my list.
My list. Yeah.
We got the same list.
If anybody's listening, yeah. Well, we wear the same clothes, Ray. Come on. just as a little quick aside, we both get out of our cars in the station parking lot this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We're both wearing black pants, mm-hmm. our blue. Steve Linder shirts.
Denim shirts,
you know, and we pretty much look like twins except for the fact that I'm like three feet shorter. And
3 feet shorter. Jeez.
You know, and 7 feet wider.
Oh, boy. You should listen to Herbally Yours on this station, Joe, Tuesdays at 3:30. Might as well get this in while we have a chance here because maybe it'll
herbally,
bump you up. You know what?
Mine.
Hold on a second. That's the wrong one. I was supposed to read. No, this one. I need this one. Yes.
I guess there was herbs involved just now, huh?
There was. High Fidelity, Thursdays at 2 p.m. This is something you would like. Hosted by Kim Tracy, featuring a mix of music with a focus on new music.
You catch the herb one.
Right. And lesser-known artists. Again, Thursdays at 2 on the station, WHPC.
We got a lot of good stuff on here, you know?
Absolutely.
Yo.
So we're gonna take a break. Mm. We are going to do that. Because we just need to take a little bit of a rest. And we're going to come back. We may be talking with our good buddy, Steve Hayes. We'll see if he's going to call us in.
Oh, that fabricated guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know, just like in...
Hot Rod Innovations, I think it is.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So just like in high school, I know this was a song that you used to... that you were singing all the time for some of those girlfriends you had... Miss Misery, remember that from Nazareth? We'll be back with more of this funny after we're done. 90.3.
I'm not going to expand on that. I don't want to live the rest of the day.
90.3 WHPC.
See, this is hi-fi, okay? High fidelity. You know what that means? That means this is the highest quality fidelity. Hi-fi. Those are two very important things to have in the stereo system.
Join me, Kim Tracy, on High Fidelity for a mix of music with a focus on newer music and lesser-known artists every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and streaming with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
All hit music. For all those songs radio has forgotten about, join me, Big Ed, Mondays from 10 a.m. till noon for the Good Gold Show. We'll bring back all the great hits of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and more. The sounds of doo-wop to disco, all the Motown, soul, and great rock and roll. We'll even take your requests and dedications to the Good Gold Show.
Music.
On the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, and streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, got in that witching season. There we go from Great Gold to some screaming Nazareth here on WHPC. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D.
We're like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Got that straight. Give us a buzz, 516-572-7440.
Yeah.
If Dave isn't
if
out
you
there.
Feel the need to call in and, you know, say hi, tell us your horror story, tell us your loose cable story, your busted wire story, whatever.
Yeah, we'll share because we can learn from our listeners as well as they can learn from us. That's not a big
problem. I spend a lot of time bouncing around, and that's a big part of my day is finding stuff like that. You know, loose connections, melted wires, corrosion, the green crusties.
Oh yeah,
as some guys calling on the YouTube channels, whatever. And that doesn't leave me a lot of time sometimes to get my own wrench work done. So I have to give a big shout out to Dougie Darkbud and Johnny Wrench for getting my Camry back together again.
Oh, nice.
You know, because let's face it, without them guys, I would be Camryless.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Sometimes you need somebody else to step in.
That's why they're the guys.
So, thanks. Yeah, it's always kudos to those guys. They're great guys to know, and you should meet them someday, and you'll think the same thing. With that, let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths. Yes, caller. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths. That might have been a hanging up, not a picking up. Okay, we'll try it again. Don't
we have one of them psychological shows on the station about, you know, psychological hang-ups and stuff there?
We probably do, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that guy had a hang-up.
Yeah. Oh, boy. You never know, Joe. You never know.
Yeah, so I hear from the cloud that we have a fuse story. So if that person would like to call in, Jim, and tell us his fuse story, you know, by all means. And, like anybody else. And like I said, just want to finish there that shout out to Darkboard and Wrench for.
Yeah, that's good. You know, like you said, sometimes you can be too busy to, to get something done. And it's nice when somebody else steps in and can take
besides
up the slack
that,
for
they,
you.
They love. They get entertainment watching me use power tools. You know what I mean? Like, you know, a quarter inch drive, yeah, no problem. You know, diagnostic stuff, all right, but you hand me an actual weapon, it gets ugly real quick.
Well, let's face it, you're more of a finesse guy these days, and you do like the wiring and that dark science stuff, and these guys are more of the.
Oh, yeah, I got to tell you. We got to tell you the trailer story at some point.
All right, let's go to this trailer park and say hi. You're on the Motor Mouths.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I don't want to break any rules, but am I allowed to deviate from a fuse story?
Deviated septum. Let's go.
Means.
Cliff, what do you got? Tell us.
Hey, no, good. I just wanted to say, I know I commented to you on email in the past, but I think the show had a lot to do with it, with the two or three interviews you had with Mark Warman. I have to tell you, season 9,
yeah,
much, much improved, I think, based on a lot of comments and suggestions that I think came in from callers on the show, and just got more technical than goofy, you know?
Yeah, I think Mark is definitely responding to his viewership and, and looking to make it make that last. And, yeah, I think you're right. I think the show did take more of a technical turn, which is good. That's what people want to see because we don't get that on the other shows.
Yeah, I like just that he's showing a lot of the body and paint stuff now and a lot of the assembly and his, you know, it's very interesting how he assembles a car like, almost like an assembly line and you know, he puts the whole assembly motor and suspension in from the bottom, but he gets all the firewall stuff done first. And
yeah,
it just it's very interesting. And the one guy, I think it's Dave, is I guess final assembly guy. He just seems to be really a knowledgeable guy. Does a nice, neat job. And I just like seeing some of the tips he gives for the bodywork and the blocking and sanding. And I just think the show's taking a turn for the better.
Yeah,
which is usually the other way around.
You should write to him and tell him, Cliff, because I'm sure he did. Mark does respond on Twitter. He is sending stuff out every day. Sometimes 3, 4, 5 things in a row he'll send out.
Wow.
But I'll tell you this, from what I heard as of, I guess it was maybe a month ago or so, Dave is no longer with the show.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Dave went out, and from what Mark had said, Dave had gone out and opened his own business, his own restoration business. And
wow.
You know, like many guys who work for somebody, you know, they know what their worth is and what they can do, and they say, "Hey, I want to give this a shot myself." A lot of times, those guys come back to work for the because being the boss isn't always what it's cracked up to be. So
yeah, sometimes making more money, but you got a lot more overhead.
Just when I thought I was out, they keep pulling me back.
Right. And I got to tell you, God's honest truth, this is what Motor Mouth Radio does. We speak the truth. Dave was never my favorite guy on the show. I was just not a huge fan of the guy. I mean, mechanical-wise and for his proficiency, I respect what he could do. But character-wise, he wasn't my favorite.
I got you.
So, you know, that being said, yeah, I wish the guy the best, of course. And I'm curious to see who's going to... I think Cousin... what's his name? Cousin Chucky, or whatever his cousin's name is.
The guy he's always goofing on.
Yeah, I think he's stepping up and maybe taking some of those responsibilities. So, well, we'll see when the new season
starts.
It's
good. It looks like he's got a lot of behind-the-scenes guys too that do really good work. It looks like his welders, his body guys, the painter, and, I understand he has a full-fledged body shop unrelated to the Mopo world, right?
Welby's Collision. Successful. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do show it. Yeah, occasionally they'll show that because now it's at a separate location. Before it was they were on the same property, and then that's kind of the bread and butter that runs his business weekly. And then Graveyard Cars was the second thing, which has now become a total new entity. That's maybe why he doesn't have that car dealership kicked off, because maybe that's another big nut that's kind of hard to chew on at the same time with two other full fledged businesses. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Unless he's doing cloning.
I want to thank you guys again for a great show.
Cliff.
On Sunday.
Well, thanks for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Good to hear from you.
Take care. Take care, Joe D.
All right, Cliff.
Later. Take care.
Talk to you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. And Dave is going to try to get through with us now.
Okay.
He was seeing a busy line, so hopefully Dave can call now and get in, and we're going to talk all about some cool stuff.
Definitely.
So,
let's see how that all works out. I'm talking about this. Oh, there we go. We got a flash.
So let us go back to the phones and go back to the phone. Say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how are you,
Dave?
Dave,
what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Dave. You're speaking with Ray, who of course you've met on Thursday night on the Plane and Traffic show, and my co-host Joe is here with me.
Hey there.
And how's it going, Joe?
Hey, man. What's going on?
And we've,
Mm-hmm.
So I've given Joe some of the specifics about what you do, and now I'm anxious to get this out to the radio listeners. Again, Plane and Traffic is our sister show. It's actually the web show that we do with Lou Santiago and Louis Lee. They roped me in a couple of years ago, and they wouldn't let me leave. So,
keep pulling you back.
So I keep coming back every week. But Dave, we had you on Thursday night. You were talking about Hot Rod Innovations, your company, and some great stuff. I don't know where you want to start, but start somewhere, and then we'll interject with questions. Tell us about what you do and what you... Well,
give us the lowdown.
Here you go. What are you gearing up for with this car that you're building? Because that's really the central topic.
That sounded real interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing a little track roadster right now, and we are going to compete for America's Most Beautiful Roadster at the Grand National Roadster Show.
Right.
And in doing that car, there were some things or some points in time, that came up. You get to a certain spot and there either wasn't anything on the market that I thought, that I was in love with, or certain problems came up and, we had to figure out how to do something to kind of get around it. And I think we accidentally sort of developed a couple of cool parts.
You sure did. And the first one is this swing away steering column, which to me, the first thing I thought of was the old Ford T-Birds from the 60s, because they had, you know, that type of a deal. So explain what was the impetus behind that project?
Well, so this car that I'm doing, like so many of all the street rods out there now, all those cars were really tight inside, not a lot of leg room and stuff. So all these cars now, everyone's doing the stretched bodies to pick up, you know, leg room, which is desperately needed in these cars. And this car is no exception. It's been stretched 5 inches.
Mm-hmm.
When you stretch the bodies, the next part that comes along with that is a longer steering column, because we want to bring the wheel back to us.
Right.
So it's, you know, comfortable when you're sitting in the car. The problem that develops is you now have the steering column and the steering wheel that much farther back into the door opening. So when you go to get in and out of the car, you're having to sort of squeeze around the steering wheel even more.
So it's kind of like the problem follows you.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So the T-Bird deal is actually sort of, I guess, what kicked off this idea. And ours works in a similar fashion, where, you know, we've got the steering column and the wheel swinging away, you know, towards the center of the car, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is the stuff that Ford did was all manual. So there was like a lever, like a locking mechanism under the dash that you would push and then manually slide the steering wheel over and then get in or out. Our system works on a 400-pound linear actuator, cool. And when you open the driver's side door, it automatically slides over.
Yeah, that was the thing. I remember asking you that Thursday night about the actuation, and when you said linear actuator, I was like, all right, we're in the right ballpark now. This guy knows how to build something.
Yeah, man. So,
that's very impressive. It's. I mean, let's face it. Linear actuator has been around for a long time. In the business,
yep.
They're not rocket science, but to like engineering geeks like us, it's just cool stuff, let's face it.
It is. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely solves the problem. It adds, in my opinion anyway, some cool factor to the car. I mean, you open the door and everything just automatically buzzes over. You get in, sit down, close the door, it automatically buzzes right back.
Yeah.
How much dash space, like when the column moves over? Well, no, it's under the dash, so you're not really...
How much real estate you're taking up with that, though, you know?
And more importantly, what I'm thinking of, okay, when you said when you open the door, it actuates, and when you close it, it actuates back the other way. What kind of switching mechanism are you using in the door jamb? Those big copper contacts? Or
No, it's basically a door pin switch.
Wow.
Kicks around.
Yeah, it's a plunger switch, so it would go in place of whatever existing door pin switch you use now. So you would still run, you know, your dome light or whatever else off the same switch, which is all part of the kit.
Okay, cool. That's great.
So, and yeah, the whole harness is plug and play. Everything's uses a GM WeatherPak connector. It's on relays.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a fairly simple install.
Nice. Sounds pretty straight.
And then
up,
as far as real estate goes, I think the actuator motors, I'm trying to think now, it's about 14 inches long.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have this up underneath the dash of a 23 T-bucket body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you're going to find the car any smaller than that.
Right, right.
And nothing's poking out the side. You're not hanging like a side marker light off it or nothing, right?
So. No. So everything's totally hidden.
Okay, so that means it's small enough.
That's cool. Very good.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, no, let's face it, you know, because sometimes, you know, you get a vehicle where there's a lot of stuff going on under the dash, especially under the driver's side. Mm-hmm. You know, depending on how the vehicle is laid out or equipped, you know, you may have to compete for, you know, for a spot amongst other stuff, you know, but that sounds like you got that nailed.
And what's nice is on a fresh build, you build that architecture in first, and then you work around it with anything else. Obviously, you're not going to be, you know, looping wires over it like some people do. You, Dave. I know people we've seen who build some pretty horrendous.
It's kind of like dragging a stereo home from Best Buy with a couple of crimp connectors and then fire starter plugs and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Dave, we're gonna keep you on through our break. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk more about the products that you've made and and some of your background. There's a lot to talk about. So if you'll hang with us, please, we'll be right back. We're going to this is cool. We're talking about some cool hot rod stuff. The name of our next song is called Changing Time. So stick around for a little Nazareth, Dave, and we'll be back on 90.3 WHPC.
You got it.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Ocean, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Well, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motor Mouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk. Every single weekend.
Oh, Joe is grudging over there. Thank you, Dennis Pitzenberger. Dave, we still got you on the line, or do we lose you in the mosh pit too?
You got scared and ran away.
I'm still here.
All right, cool. Excellent.
All right.
So we are back with Motor Mouth Radio. Dave Hayes from Hot Rod Innovations, and you have the best website, hotrodinnovations.cool.
Yeah.
Someday
cool.
You're going to tell me how you did that, because that is cool.
Thank you.
So, before we get into this other product that you've built for the car, I don't know if we covered this Thursday night. Sometimes I'm in a haze on that show. I know you're predominantly a metal guy and a fab guy. What's your background? Just generally speaking, you know, with what got you to the credential that you have now?
Definitely my dad. Mm-hmm. I grew up, you know, doing the hot rod thing. My dad has done a bunch of cars throughout my life that were, to be honest with you, way ahead of their time. This is just what I grew up with. In 83, my dad showed at the Grand National Show. He had done a two-door sedan. It was a 29 Model A. And it had, like, all the front end on it was independent front suspension. He built everything himself. It was all polished stainless. The car was torsion bar suspended front and rear, digital dash. Everything about that car was, way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
So I grew up around, you know, with my dad, who was, he's a really innovative guy.
So,
and
was your dad's background in engineering or automotive stuff like that? Or was he just another true innovator?
He was a welder.
Okay.
And just a car guy.
Cool.
And then, as I got older, we did a pair of cars together. He had a Pro Street Camaro, had a blown big block in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a Pro Street 66 El Camino, had a blown small block in it.
Nice.
Both the cars were built at the house.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 19 years old, I believe, those cars were featured together in Super Chevy magazine. His was in Chevy High Performance by itself. Mine was in Truckin' magazine by itself. This is just stuff I've done with my dad my whole life. Then we got involved with dwarf car racing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's similar to like a Legends car, but it's sort of more of a run what you brung. The Legends cars are like a kind of a cookie cutter deal where they're all the same car.
Right, right.
I built all my own stuff, and then we did that for 5 years, and I decided I wasn't throwing my money away fast enough, and I had to have a sprint car.
Right.
So we sold all that and started running a 360 sprint car.
Uh-huh.
And it sort of by accident, I sort of fell backwards into building and selling dwarf car chassis after that. So I manufactured my own line of chassis for a while, and I've just sort of, I don't know, this is just, I don't really know how all this started, but it's what I grew up with, and, the exact field that we've been in, whether it's like the old street rods or like the pro street thing and then the racing, it, all that sort of zigzagged through, but it's always been something involved with motorsports.
That's kind of why I asked that question to of a lot of guests, because some people, you know where they are and where they've come from. It's kind of clear, or you know through history. But other guys, you know, you don't know. And I found when I ask someone, I get answers like you just said. You're like, wow, you know, you just made me rethink my whole past, and wow, what a crooked path it's been. But that's fine, because that's our lives. Our lives don't always go, we're not always linearly. Yes, linearly actuated.
Straight line.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And it's as interesting for us as it may be for you to recount it, too. So that's why I go there. So the other product you made is this throttle return spring kit, which is just so cool. Please tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I was looking at pictures of that thing. Yeah, whoa.
So thank you. Thank you. Putting this Roadster together and trying to keep this car as innovative and as fresh as possible. It's kind of funny. It's one of those things, or it's one of those parts on a car that nobody ever gives a whole lot of thought to, right? I mean, just from the beginning of time, it's always been the same thing. And now the bracket that it attaches to has changed, and there's a whole bunch of different styles of brackets out there, mm-hmm. you know, to hook from, you know, some fixed point on the car mm-hmm. to the throttle arm.
Usually a thermostat housing, if you new guys, like, they usually use the hose clamp by the upper radiator hose. I've seen that like a million times.
Right, no! Right. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, like I said, there's 1,000 variations of it, but it's all this, from like the first Model T. Mm-hmm. The throttle return spring is some form of, we are yanking on a spring.
Right.
And if you don't like the way it feels, we're either, you know, you overstretch it and bend a new hook on one end, or, you know, you go back to the hardware store and you're walking down the spring aisle again.
Or if you're like me, you have a drawer in your garage that is filled with different springs, and you just kind of pick and choose different ones.
Right, right. Yeah, you stretch
exactly.
them, you make another bracket, you know, so it's on the radiator support. Who cares, you know? It's well, I'll get it just the way I want. So what if it's in the fan?
Yeah.
Exactly. And, so we got, you know, it's funny. We got to the spot where we were going to light the motor off, you know, that's in this little Roadster. And so you're starting to button up all the little tiny details. And we got to that spot and, you know, I flipped through a couple of the catalogs sitting on the toilet tank in the bathroom and mm-hmm. just thought, you know what? I don't like any of this. And, so we started talking about it, and I wanted something really small and compact, and, we sort of ended up with this, and it's a little billet coilover shock, basically. There's no oil in it, but it looks like a regular billet coilover shock.
What that thing does is something I've always wanted, and something we always get when we go to the spring drawer, is adjustability and tunability.
Correct.
Right? You're able to move that collar to preload, and your spring works in compression, not in tension, which, as we discussed with Chassis John on Thursday night, is the better way to deal with a spring.
So, yes.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic.
So, you know, not only is that spring's never going to wear out, like, you know, stretching on a spring will, and I cannot imagine a scenario that it ever breaks in mm-hmm. compression. But even if it did, the other cool part about this system is, even if that spring were to break, and like I said, I don't know how that would ever happen, mm-hmm. it would just overlap into the next full coil. Mm-hmm. You know, it would overlap onto itself, essentially, but it can't fall off because it's captured.
Nice fail-safe.
You know, being mounted around this mm-hmm. adjustable shock piece.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's just a really small, compact unit. It takes care of, so the bracket has, you know, the adjustable coilover. It's got the tab on it for the, like, a low-car style throttle cable. Mm-hmm. It's got a bracket on it for either... Well, we have two different brackets. We have a bracket for either a low-car style kick-down cable or a GM, like, Turbo 350 700R4 kick-down cable. Mm-hmm. The kick-down cable will actually... both brackets, the throttle, the tab for the throttle cable or for the kickdown cable, they're both removable. So if you're running, you know, the solid rod for the throttle that goes back to like the arm on the firewall,
mm-hmm.
And it's a four speed car, so you don't need either one of those. They just unbolt.
Right.
So yeah, it can be used with one, both, or neither.
Then
we offer the bracketry in either clear anodized or black, and the shocks, they're all aluminum, and we have those anodized in clear, black, blue, red, purple, I think.
Yeah, it's just like my choice, like Henry Ford, any color as long as it's black. That's how I like it. But, you know, and Chassis John mentioned that, you know, NHRA should be mandating this stuff. And I don't think we covered it, but we were talking about PRI. Have you thought about bringing these products through that show at all?
I think next year will be our first year there.
Great.
It wouldn't work for me this year. And to be honest with you, it hadn't even been something like on my radar, but this is our first year going to SEMA, which is a big deal for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at this point, next year, it's going to be an absolute for us.
Yeah.
These products have been, you know, around at my house anyway, for like 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
And because we actually went through the patent process with both of them. And so the first time any of this stuff was seen in public was March of this year.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, obviously we wouldn't have gone through all the patent stuff and, you know, manufacturing a bunch of parts and stuff if I didn't think, or if my wife and I didn't feel like we had something here. But to be honest with you, it seems like it's sort of picking up steam faster than I anticipated. So we hadn't planned on PRI and next year for sure.
Mm. I think that's how those things happen. When you live with it, you know, when you have the Nosemobile thing, like from New Jersey, right?
Oh, yes.
And you know, you live with it. They're all over your house. Your friends have them. Your family have them. You get numb to the importance. And then when it does pick up, when somebody wants to mass market, let's say, which I hope that happens in your case, it's all of a sudden like bang, zoom, man. Now you're hiring staff, which is another happy problem, you know? So,
sure.
Yeah, so we wish you all the best with that.
Luckily for me, as far as the hiring staff, that part's already done.
You have kids?
Well, yes, I do.
Okay.
Sound Chinese.
There's a couple of guys that I grew up with that have worked with me on doing this car. We are absolutely a team.
Right.
And these guys are unbelievable fabricators, smart as a tack. I mean, I have the utmost respect for Mike and Jason, is their names. And as soon as this thing gets to a spot where that's going to happen, we've already discussed it. They are literally like, you know, tapping their finger on the table. Is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's a pretty cool position for me to be in too, because I think that's the other problem in this industry is you can have somebody with a lot of passion or a great idea or a little bit of talent, but like you said, when you get to the spot where you need to hire some staff, man, it's not like you can just hire anybody.
Right.
It has to be somebody that kind of gets
it's versed,
you know, that understands what we're really doing here.
Sure. And you have to trust them. Yeah, there's a lot of components that have to work. So that's good. I'm glad you have that already built in, because that is the key to one of the keys to success. So I think what I want to do is I want to follow up with you after SEMA. That's October 30th to November 2nd this year.
Correct.
And so I don't know. You know, I'll keep in touch with you, because then we're going to have Thanksgiving after that. And then, of course, everybody's gearing up for all the holidays and whatnot. So we'll work it on your schedule. But I'd like to get you back on sometime after then and kind of recap what happened, what your experiences were.
Give us the report, you know.
Oh, I would absolutely love to.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's going to be fantastic. I will do that. And, yeah, I think I'm going to have to get with you on one of these brackets, too, because I've been fighting weird springs in my own car. So we'll talk about that offline, too. So
I'll tell you what, Ray. Mm-hmm. Send me an email with your address and all your stuff and what it is you want, and I'll just put one in the mail, man.
You're excellent. Thank you very much, Dave. That's cool. All right, we're gonna have to run now. We thank you for coming on. You want to put out any contact information, how people can find you or the products? Please do that now, so the audience can hear it.
I think you already covered it. It's hotrodinnovations.cool. Mm-hmm. And if you go on the website from there, there's a link to our Facebook and our Instagram page. You know, all the products are there, and come check us out at SEMA.
Excellent. Now, it's a new person for us to follow on Instagram. I'm going to follow you this afternoon because I want to see. I love seeing good stuff. I love good engineering, and I can never get enough of it. That and tool sites, for some reason, I can't get enough of. So,
hey, you just got Facebook-like from me.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
All right, Dave, thank you very much. We'll be in touch. We'll follow up after SEMA, and we'll get you back on, and I'll shoot you that email later on today.
Sounds great. You guys have an awesome day.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
All right.
It's always nice to talk to somebody with some pretty cool hardware.
You know, that's the thing about playing in traffic. And again, you can go to look at Lou Santiago's Facebook page or allendsmag.com, Louis Lee's site. There's links on there. We're on Blue Jeans Network currently, which can change any week because it's changed before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tori, our good friend Tori, got Dave on the show. He booked him last week, which was great. And unfortunately, Tori was fighting the 103 fever, so he had to tap out.
Yipes.
But, Tori finds some. All the guests I find don't want to come on to video for some reason. They say, no, we're going to stick
with
you.
Well, it's like us. We got faces for radio.
Exactly.
You know,
so I'd say, yeah. But, Tori.
There was going to be a Motormouth TV show, but they couldn't find bags to put over our head that, you know, we didn't suffocate and we'll stick the microphone in. So.
Yeah, it was a problem, yeah.
That's why we're still radio people.
Exactly. So, again, that entity feeds this entity. We feed back and forth. We like to share guests. And we get great guys like Dave, who really, in the world, I mean, he's got two products. Right. Two products, and you can say, hey, you know what? Yeah, look at what Edelbrock has. But still, this is a guy who builds. His dad builds. The other guys, Joe, it's our core. It's our DNA.
Right.
The guys that are out there doing it.
Innovating, creating, definitely.
They were just able to take it to the next level. Like, you could have easily developed the power probe. Because of your work with jumper leads and all that stuff.
Sure.
But you didn't. So, you know what? Somebody else did.
Yeah, that's one of those flat forehead moments. As a matter of fact, I was thinking of making a trailer tester, but that company, IPA.
They have one
Innovative
already.
Products of America. Yeah.
Excellent.
I mean, this should be real quick. We had one of these at a buddy's shop. It was a 2016 Ford. Where all the lights, all the directionals would flash quickly, like as if it had a bulb out.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so now, all the bulbs check out fine. Just for giggles, we changed them again, just to be darn sure that nobody messed around with it. And we couldn't find anything. Now, the bad part is, on this particular truck, it's a 16, the flasher ain't that little 552 can no more. It's the body computer.
Oh, geez.
Uh-oh, here we go. And basically, we had a little talk with the owner of the vehicle, and the guy pulls a trailer.
Right.
Okay, and he says, you know what? Come to think of it, the lights in the trailer weren't working the last time I used it. And I was like,
uh-huh.
So, my buddy has the Ford scan tool, plugged it in, and on this particular vehicle, it has a trailer module.
Oh, geez.
And it thought the trailer module shows that it was connected to the truck.
And it wasn't.
But there was nothing behind it.
Uh-huh.
So it thought it had a trailer, and because the lights from the trailer were not responding, the truck says, I must have a light out. Let me flash everything.
And I tell you what, if you weren't Joe D, who knew how to fix that, you could become a whiskey-drinking woman like the Nazareth Thorn we're going to hear here on Motormouth Radio. We're going to take our last break, call a hangout. We'll be back in a minute. Stick with us, 90.3 WHPC. Pour a cold one.
Hey, you in the car. Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show, now at a brand new time, live. Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Oh, yeah, we're bumping and grooving here on WHPC. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. I know our buddy Jeep and Al just found out what part of a bad ground doesn't people understand, because he just fixed the problem as he was listening to
what
us.
What part of a bad ground don't you understand? Never mind. FCC.
That could go on and on infinitum. Yes, let's go back to the phones, back to the fun, and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. It's Tom from Massapequa. I'm enjoying the show today.
Hey, what's happening, Tom?
What's going on?
Hey, I got a technical question for you. I have a 2004, an 04 Cadillac Escalade, the extended version.
Right.
And I have intermittent no throttle response.
Ooh, like limp mode?
You got that?
Say again?
Like limp mode? You know, you have
not like I'm driving and say I stop at a light and then I go to go again. There'll be a delay. I'll hit the pedal and there'll be no RPMs. There'll be no power.
Like flat
dead.
The
motor is idling, right? And
right.
It could also happen from a roll as well.
Okay. And how does it break out of that?
Or does it?
Do you have to do anything?
I'm sorry?
How does it stop doing that? Like, do you have to like?
I'm sorry. You better listen better.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, the question was Tom, can you get it to stop doing that and go back to normal, or is it just like that all the time now?
Okay. Very good question. I have a traction control button.
Right.
If I put if I deactivate the traction control,
right,
I could drive fine.
Okay. But as soon as you kick the traction control light on, that's when the button on, that's when stuff happens.
If I leave the traction control on,
right,
if I do not deactivate it,
right,
it always happens. So whenever I start the car, there's no traction. I have to deactivate the traction control to drive safely.
The default situation is that the traction control is engaged and you have to actively select to disengage it. Okay. Basically, traction control is not one of the things it does is it kills your throttle. In other words, so if it thinks you're a hot rod is looking to smoke your tires and whatnot, it will actually back off on the throttle in an attempt to keep you in line. Now, for that to happen, though, either you're really aggressive with the with your throttle, you've got really bald tires. Or you may have a problem with the, believe it or not, the ABS unit.
Aha. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Because the ABS unit senses wheel speed.
Mm-hmm.
The ABS computer talks to the engine computer. And they're like, hey, this guy's out of his mind. We can pull him back. You know, and that's what happens there. Because you have electronic throttle, you have no direct control over the foot feed, as they used to call it, down in the more rural areas of the country.
Okay.
So I would say at this point, you may want to have somebody with a professional-grade scan tool plug into that and just see if anybody's not happy. You know what I mean? Do you have any lights on, by the way?
No. Okay, here's the thing.
Go ahead.
We've never had lights on for this issue.
Right.
Okay, it's been going on without lights. My kids pull codes on it. They can't pull codes that... are reasonable to this
issue.
Right.
My mechanic, I bring it to him. He couldn't. It didn't happen when he drove it because it's not 100% constant.
Of course
not.
Yeah.
But I brought it to him with a light on, and he got a 101 or 102 code, and they changed the mass airflow sensor.
Right.
I left his place. The check engine light came back on.
Mm-hmm.
Same code again. 101 or 102, one of those.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
I brought it back to him. I demonstrated the situation to him.
Mm-hmm.
We drove around. He was able to feel the issue.
Mm-hmm.
He put the scan code on the machine on it with the four graphs. All the graphs, the four graphs match up.
Okay.
He had changed the mass airflow sensor, so he's going to, this week, he's going to replace the mass airflow sensor
to see
if it was defective.
I think he was shooting the messenger. Go ahead.
What? Why?
I think he was shooting the messenger.
Yeah, I know, because we don't think the mass airflows. It happened for, it was going on for 6 months to a year before the light came on and the code came up for the mass airflow sensor.
This is going to, this would take a whole show, but basically, it's probably a 101, which is the mass airflow doesn't agree with the throttle position and or the MAP sensor. In other words, those three guys have to be in sync and simpatico. It's out of whack. I guarantee you dollars to donuts.
You know,
but the traction control, I would have a talk with the traction control.
Jeep and Al just told us, he just weighed in saying that when the sensor on his mom's ABS, the right rear ABS went, it locked up the right rear, and there was no throttle, and it sounds like the problem that Tom's having. So
very well,
all right, there's more to this. I'll tell you this.
A year or so ago,
we had an ABS light go on.
Uh-huh.
My son changed the front wheel hubs and the wheel sensors.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It fixed the ABS light.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had new front wheel sensors, right? Because my son thinks it may have to do with the wheel sensors.
I would call him crazy.
What?
I would not call him crazy.
So what we did was, this week, after the mass airflow sensor was replaced, but then we got the light again by my mechanic, I had my son replace the rear sensors, which is not the whole hub. It's just the sensor,
yeah,
I guess.
Just goes
where
right
on the front it was
plate.
The whole hub.
Right.
And it still happened.
Okay, well, there's more to this. Oh, boy, what you should do is have a talk with the ABS computer, not just codes. You can actually see between it and the engine computer if it's commanding the torque to be pulled back. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you were on ice or snow and you punched the throttle, you know, I mean, you did something like completely moronic like that.
Yeah.
The throttle would actually pull back on you and say, whoa, not that much, you idiot. You want full throttle, we're only going to give you a quarter throttle.
Hence traction control.
Right, exactly. And there's a parameter called requested torque. All right. And the two computers talk to each other. I'll bet you dollars to donuts when this happens, the requested torque is in the crapper. You know what I mean? And that is definitely the Reader's Digest version of this, but leave the poor mass airflow alone.
Tom, you may need a guy with a better sense of scan data and diagnostics to dig into that one. That's what it sounds like.
Okay, even if there's no lights, right?
You still have those things. Well, because you still have the problem. The problem exists, so obviously you can't discount that.
It could be confusing. I just had a Ford that thought it had a trailer hanging off it.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe's story
was just like a, you know, if you listen back to the show, the Ford thought there was a trailer on a truck, but there was no trailer, and there was a problem that existed. So, you know, the tech needs to be able to work around that with the right diagnostic procedure. But for now, Tom, we got to go because it's the end of the show. We got to get out of here.
Yes, on the road. Kimmy's here. We got on HWHPC.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Bye, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right, Joe, that's it. We're done.
Like
Kim's
the way
in.
I worked that in.
We'll be back next week. More Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. See ya.